I'm Dan Orlovsky. When I'm looking for safety, I always take the extra steps and listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris, working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Case in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions! That's it, pack the bag, start the plane. This game is over! How big is that?
And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, the guys people are talking about when they discuss monkeys and footballs. Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast. We're up to episode 158. Don't forget, this is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris. And with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How you doing, my man?
And actually, yeah, four. Those were three. Unless I'm, and then we also...
All right. Just hold it back, man. I see you're excited. There's a lot going on today. In today's show, we're going to kick off for the fantasy football signups. Yep, it's live. It's on the website. Get in, get signed up, get your position in the leagues. And we may have an extra special prize coming this year, in addition to the cast prizes that are available. We'll talk about that. Also, August 4th, DLP training camp party. That thing's getting ready. It's going to rock and roll, so be ready for that. And the interview you've all been waiting for, Billy Sims joins us, and he talks about a lot. Really opens up about his career and a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up. Case, you ready to go, my man?
I gotta piss like a unicorn.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements. First, check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from Guam! And, of course, our very first donor, Mathis. And then Brian B. from I Prevail. He's got some really cool stuff coming. Guys, I think you're going to love what he's bringing to the show. And thanks a lot, Brian. It's really, really cool. We're really stoked. This is a beautiful relationship. We're making some beautiful music together. Check it out if you'd like to join the Patreon crew and help the show stay alive and keep going. Head on over to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. It's patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Separate a buck a month from your wallet, $2, $10, whatever you can afford, whatever you can spare. We appreciate anything that you can provide along with the rest of the Patreon crew. And we do our darndest to put some extra stuff out whenever we can to help as a reward. And those folks will see a little reward at the party as well. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and on the Twitter machine. That's @DETLionsPodcast, @DETLionsPodcast. Join all the fun on Twitter because it's the very, very best place to see Case.
He has to pay me to keep my pants on, so.
That's right. All right, subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get on the subscription train there. That helps us out. We've got some plans, and we need a couple more subscribers to make those things come real as we get to the postseason. But postseason live shows got a lot of cool stuff, very similar, but even more than that draft spectacular. So youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, get those subscriptions there. And rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. Give us a review. And, you know, got a couple of really great reviews out there. We got one from Randy Burns I want to call out. Hey, thanks for the really nice words. Making the off-season entertaining when there's very little to report. Hey, thank you. And thank a couple of you guys out there for a couple of the very kind and personal words you said there and on the Reddit. If you'd like to join the club, or please do join the club, and give us a rating. Get that 5-star rating out there and let folks know what to expect when they listen to the show. Lastly, let's not forget, you can give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or give us a call on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. That comes out as 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review This Week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And, well, there's a main call-out that I have to make. Case, he couldn't make it to the show this week.
The bullshit!
He had some last-minute stuff come up, so he's not able to join us. But there's a couple things we're going to cover here. First, the Fantasy Football League. Like I said earlier, that thing is live. Head to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, click on the fantasy thing and the top main menu, and you can go right in there and... join, get ready, list out. There's four different leagues you can be in, four different sets of money that's out there to win, and we're thinking of a very, very special prize. We're waiting for a couple things to come together here. It should happen this week. That will be a on top of the money, and a very special prize available to those who play. So cinch those pants up and get ready for some real fantasy football. Join the crew. DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on that fantasy link on the main menu, and it'll get you there, and you can choose what league and how much you want to win. How about that? That's a good way to do it. All right. Also, a big deal. August 4th, the Detroit Lions Podcast Training Camp Party. The date is locked. The location isn't. Our friends at the Drafting Table made a mistake and booked somebody else. But we've got another location. We actually think it might be a little bit better. And it's a private room. We've got food, the whole thing that's going to be available. Of course, there's always drinks. Got to have drinks. But we've got some all-you-can-eat kind of things set up as part of it. They're just thinking about some auction items, some stuff raffle off, that kind of stuff. And, of course, the live podcast. We're going to have Sandman, Eric Schlitt. We're going to have Jeff Risden, myself, all podcasting live from there as one. And you may be surprised to see some of the special guests we get to show up. So, again, this is the second annual DLP Training Camp Party. Get ready and put August 4th, that night, August 4th aside, because you are going to have a riot. All right, one other thing. Last week, we wanted to get to it. We mentioned it in the open of the show. Our guy, Roche, longtime listener from Arizona, Roche Crowder, he was talking about something from one of the previous shows about why he became a Lions fan. He wanted to fill us in on his story. And I love hearing these stories. I love hearing where people come from and how they got here. So let's listen into what Roche has to say.
Yo, yo, what's up, Chris and Case and the Riz? It's your boy, Roche. I'm in Arizona. A while ago, I heard you guys talking about how you became a Lions fan. And this was a while ago, but I'm just now calling in. But I kind of wanted to share my little story. I'm in Arizona. I've been in Arizona all my life, pretty much. Never been to Detroit. Never been out in Michigan. But when I was in about the fifth grade, I had a ruler with every NFL team helmet and logo on it. And probably about fifth grade-ish. And I studied that ruler for like 3-4 days straight. I was like, whatever team has the coolest helmet, coolest logo, that's going to be my favorite team forever. Sure enough, little did I know, I picked that Blue Lion, not knowing how good or bad that team was, but I picked it off of how cool the logo was. And so I was always like, that's my team, that's my team. I got talked about for it. They were telling me how bad that team was. And the next year, sixth grade, my homie, he was a Lions fan. So it was cool. He was like my only Lions fan. It was just us two. And he was a white dude. I'm a black guy. And we was pretty athletic for sixth grade. And he was like, I'm Scott Mitchell, you're Herman Moore. And from then on, it just stuck hardcore. Scott Mitchell, Herman Moore, Scott Mitchell, Herman Moore. So that's why I love the Lions. Just from then. There's a bunch of, like, little Lions things that happened that just solidified, like, my love for the Lions. Like, Stafford jumping over the O-line or the D-line. Yeah, jumping over our O-line over the Cowboys D-line. Just Barry Sanders, of course. Just a bunch of things throughout the year that just was like, okay, this is going to be my squad. The 0-16 team, that made me want to be like, okay, us versus everybody. But that's just kind of my little short story of how and why I love the Lions and how I became a fan of that. But holla at me. Keep going on with that podcast, even on the off season. I know it's a little slow right now, but let's get it in. And Patricia, reach us. Let's get it in.
All right. Thanks, Roche. Love Roche. He's a great call. And love the story. You guys got a story, give us a call on the Lions line. 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Or if you want to use the old Skype, you can do that. Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word. And let us know how you got to be a Lions fan. Those are fun stories. I love the ones of people from out of town. How did anyone fall in love with this team. Usually it's after the 0-16 season or that season itself that got people. It's harder to find people, especially people from out of town, who weren't Detroiters, who fell in love with the team, and then when they went 0-16 and they stuck around. That's a rarer breed of people, but hey, they're there. I mean, whatever. So that's going to be that. We've got all the announcements done. Don't miss that show. Don't miss that that live training camp party. It's good time. There is going to be limited space. We'll have sign up for that showing up in another 2 weeks or so. And get your fantasy football spot. Again, limited spaces on those. And besides the money, we're going to have another cool-ass prize in there. All right, guys? So with that, I'm going to hand this off now to the man, the guy who got me into the Lions and made me a Lions fan. It is the one and only Billy Sims, who's joined us for a great interview. We pre-recorded this a couple days ago, and as you can tell, it just beat Case's ass. He was too worn out. So let's get into it.
Time for a different kind of breakdown with today's special guest.
All right, what an amazing guest we have today. It's one of the Magic Triumvirate, who wore number 20 for the Detroit Lions. He's the man who made me a Lions fan for life. It's the king of barbecue, Billy Sims. Billy, how you doing, my man?
Doing great. I don't know about being the king of barbecue, but because I learned a long time ago, when you put titles in front of people's names, responsibility come with it.
Just call me
old Bill.
Sounds good. Okay, so here's how this kind of works. We've asked the users on the Detroit Lions subreddit on Reddit to give us some questions they had for you. So we're gonna give you some questions that those guys have posted. We'll give you the names of the posters. Some of them will be funny names. Just have to roll with that. So
people, you guys already laughing.
Yeah,
creative fellas.
Well, this first one, you'll understand what I mean. Okay, so from user Honolulu Blue Balls, we have, from your perspective, how might your career have been different had you played today versus the early 80s?
Oh, wow. One thing, I probably would have been a lot richer.
Yeah, that's very true.
The king of barbecue would have came with a crown.
I was born too soon. Yeah, that was good while it lasted, and plus, I probably would have had a chance to be a Hall of Famer. Mostly.
Yeah, well, you wonder if you might have been able to, if the knee stuff might have been able to have gone better with, you know, modern medical techniques and that kind of thing.
Exactly. You know, of course, nowadays operations and all that stuff are different. And
yeah.
And when I got hurt in 84, I was going into my fifth game of the season.
Yeah.
And I rehabbed all of 86, trying to get back really too fast, and basically kind of messed it up from there, and I knew it was time to retire.
Sure.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about that. There's some questions on that. Some folks want to know about your favorite. It's a two-parter here. This is Coroner Jackal, 91. He wants to know who your favorite actor.
Wait a minute. That was who? Coroner who?
Coroner Jackal, 91. There's some good ones, I'm telling you. He's got a two-parter. Who's your favorite active player? And then who's a guy that doesn't get a lot of love that we'll look back fondly on 20 years from now?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, these guys are for real, man. They don't mess around.
Usually, the big guys up front, used to didn't get a lot of love, of course. Yeah. They're getting a lot of money nowadays, so they're getting real love.
Yeah.
Offensive lineman guys. And what was the other question for that?
Who's your favorite active player right now?
Oh, wow. I'm trying to think. Usually, I don't really watch a lot of pro football. I am, I'm back at the college and the high school level. But
sure.
I like the players from it was Adrian Peterson, because he's not playing anymore now.
Mm-hmm.
He was my guy, man.
He was always impressive.
I'm without a doubt. Then you have my the back up there, and well, not really a back, but the receiver, punt returner for Kansas City. Is it punt?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Because I remember when he beat us when he was at OSU on a punt return and won the game there in Norman. So I never forget him.
Sure.
Yeah, I forget. You're a big Hook 'em Horns guy, right?
I'm
teasing.
Well, only when we're not playing them.
Okay. That's, you know what? That's not an answer I expected. I expected to get a rise out of there, Billy. You're a better man than I am.
No, you know, growing up, I'll say I'm from Texas, but really I'm from Missouri. I was born in St. Louis. Big baseball sure. fan, big Cardinals fan to this day. Really, that's my first love, baseball.
Sure.
I just happened to accidentally fall into football when I moved to Texas. And really didn't start playing football until the 10th grade. A lot of people may not know that. I wouldn't come out for it. I thought that was a crazy game to play. But anyway, it worked out, and I was happy.
Yeah.
I'll be darned. 10th grade. That's I did not know that. That's really something.
All right, so we've got a three-part question here from user Anywhere But Florida. we'll take them one at a time here. Who was a guy you hated playing against?
Oh, I still see him in my sleep now. Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, there you go. Man. Yep, I believe that. I think that's probably a popular answer. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, right. he could bring it, that's for sure.
I believe that. Okay, so any crazy story on or off the field that happens still stick out in your mind?
Let's see. Wow.
You know, plead the fifth if you need to.
Well, this is a family show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's only as family as you need it to be.
Well, I remember probably my best year was 1983. And we go out and play the 49ers. We win the division. And a quarterback at that time was Gary Danielson. You remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Who does the college games now. And they had, you know, running a lot, the defense and everything. Of course, Joe Montana and everything. But at halftime, we was down 21-3. Gary had thrown 5 interceptions. So I'm pissed off because we're not running the ball. We're trying to trick them because they got a great defense, this and that. So I go in at halftime, and I tell the coach, you know, coach, we got to do what brought us to help us win the division. That was running the ball. He said, okay. Well, sometimes you got to be careful what you ask. The second half, he damn near killed me because he gave me the ball about 40 times.
Yeah.
And, we had a great kicker, Eddie Murray.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we actually came in together, and we ended up losing by 3 points. And we won that game. We was 2 games out to advance to the Super Bowl. So that's the closest I ever got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you something, Billy. We had a show just recently where we talked about what made us become a Lions fan, and straight up, you are the reason that I locked onto the Lions lifelong. I'm a Detroiter, grew up in Detroit, and it used to be.
Bless your heart.
back in the late 70s, me and my little brother would grab a cassette recorder, and we'd had like a 19-inch black and white TV, and we put on the games. And it was like right around when you were drafted, and we would do play by play and color this cassette recorder, just call these games as little kids. I wish I had those old tapes to look back and listen to. But man, watching you play was just, it just lit me up as a kid. It just made football and the Detroit Lions my, you know, just put it right in the middle of my heart. So I have you to thank for that, both good and bad.
Thank you. The old Silverdome days. They finally tore that stadium down, I see.
It fought, though. It fought all the way down, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did, for sure.
Let's talk about that game against the 49ers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. So you get the divisional playoff game. You won the division there. And let's just say Eddie Murray makes the field goal, right?
Oh,
and
yes,
we got a huge upset over the 49ers. How do you guys match up against the Redskins there and potentially the Raiders after that? You guys think you could have done it?
I don't know, because we never did beat the Redskins. A couple of times we did play them. The closest we ever got to them was 3 points. And, you know, they was pretty tough back then with Joe Theismann and the Hogs and Riggins and all those guys. So, but then, again, you never know. You know, once you get in the playoffs and get hot, anything can happen.
Yeah, yeah. No, you talked about those Gary Danielson interceptions, and he's another guy we were super high on back in the day, but that Gary Danielson and interceptions, those three words seem just forever inextricably linked together, unfortunately.
But, you know, Gary was, you know, he just got off on a bad foot because he was a great, great, good, great quarterback for us, knowledge of the game. And, of course, he's been doing the college sports forever, see, right? Right?
But it's another case probably of the city putting so much in the lap of one man, you know? And
oh, yeah, yeah.
There were so many other things going on.
Yeah, because, you know, the state, I say it's not just Detroit, but the state of Michigan, they have such loyal, loyal fans. Even before I got there, they was about the second team in the league with attendance, and they had been losing forever, but they will support their sports teams in that town. I have been all over that state of Michigan, and just great fans still, even to this day.
For sure. That question was brought from user Will Cox. And this next one comes to us from Evan Maggiari. Okay, so how do you feel?
I'm glad you had to pronounce that name.
Yeah, I am. I don't know if I did it right. he wants to know how you feel about the number 20 jersey being retired for Lem Barney, Barry Sanders, and yourself, and just like what it means to be a part of that trio that we all know is, you know, kind of the greats.
Wow. Yeah, I see those guys a lot during the season, especially Lem and Barry at the games, and I'm just honored to be in there with them, because if it weren't for those two guys, somebody else would probably still be wearing that number.
Yeah.
So it's definitely an honor and a privilege to be even mentioned with those guys, you know, those Hall of Famer guys, because I've known Barry since his college days. I remember when he came out for the draft. I think Wayne Frantz was the head coach at that time, mm-hmm. and they was debating on whether drafting him, and I'm trying to think somebody else who was that came out with him. Did Dion come out that year with him?
Right.
That's a good question. I don't remember.
Yeah. But anyway, I called Wayne before the draft came up. I said, you guys would be crazy if you passed on this guy here, because I knew what kind of talent he had. As a matter of fact, you got to remember, he was backing up Thurman Thomas. They both played together.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Those were some heady years for running backs, boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, great years.
All right, so one more question, and you took away a little bit of this is anywhere but Florida again. He got a second one in, but maybe took away a little of the fun when I tried to make fun of, you know, get you riled up about the Texas. But any thoughts about Barry going to your college rival, taking your number, and then breaking your darn franchise rushing record?
not at all. I mean, like I said, couldn't have happened to a better guy. And I've had the pleasure of watching him in person when he was playing. And, of course, we all know, and guys that played this game, that had he not retired early, he would be the all-time leading rusher on a bad team.
Yeah, yeah. Watching him run was just – it was really something. And, you know, he had no line, but it was like he didn't need it, right?
The lion got in the way anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
What a great player, great guy.
Well, okay, we're talking about legacies a little bit here, and user Rise Up wanted to know, what do you want your legacy to be, or what do you want people to think about when they talk about the Billy Sims?
Well, man, he's just a great person to be around, not necessarily about the sports. I'd give you the shirt off my back if I could. And I've always thought about it. It's more than just playing the game of football.
Of course.
I tell people I would have played it for free. I didn't know I was going to get paid for it. You know? Back when I was playing, I'd have played for free anyway. So, but other than that, just one of the guys. You know, I never try to get too high or get too loud.
Yeah,
too low. So, that's just my upbringing. And on to the next thing. Really, really, I wish I stayed with baseball. I was a left-handed pitcher. And growing up in St. Louis, then, Orlando Torpedo, Bob Gibson, Lou Brock, those was my heroes.
Yeah, yeah.
And during that time period, most black kids in the city, we played baseball. We didn't play football.
Right, right.
Of course, when I moved to Texas, everybody played football. and really, I thought it was the most craziest sport. Why would you want to get in the game with guys beating up on you all the time?
I think we can 100% respect why somebody might choose baseball over football. Fans of yours and fans of the game, of course, we're glad that that's not the route you took. But we certainly do understand the sentiment where you're coming from. So
yeah, without a doubt, you know. But yeah, but baseball still my first love, and I became a running back out of fear because, like most kids, if you ask them, they would play on a tackle. Because the guy that got the ball.
Right.
So I was first string linebacker in the 10th grade and third string running back, which was okay with me. I didn't want to play running back anyway. But my relatives, who was a senior and his backup, they get hurt in the second game. I'm in a little small town. Well, nobody left but me. And I'm thinking, oh, no, this is not going to be good. and the first year, it wasn't good. It was a whole lot of running and no blocking.
So that didn't change much when you got to the pros.
Yeah, it did kind of bring back nightmares, you know. So, of course, my best years when I was in college when it came to blocking, you know, because we ran the wishbone, had a lot of great players back in those days.
God, I love the wishbone offense. That's one of the most fun. Oh, gosh. Let's go back a little bit. We talked about the Silverdome. Will Coxon again gets in here, and he wants to know some of your favorite memories about the now demolished Silverdome and how it compared to other fields at that time.
Wow, at that time, it was a terrible field, really. with the AstroTurf, you know, we had about a half an inch of padding. The rest of it was concrete. So, right. You know, once you get tackled and drove into the ground ain't going to give. So, you know, it caused a lot of injuries. I've seen guys, offensive linemen, backing up the pass block, you know, tearing knee up because of the turf. And Minnesota had a terrible field. Philadelphia Eagles had a terrible field during that time period. Those were about the three worst. During that time period. And, of course, when I got hurt, it was because of the turf. It wasn't because of a direct hit or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really tough day as a Lions fan, hearing that and seeing Billy get hurt. That one was that was the first of many trials. And it's funny, we had Jim Brandstetter on, and he talks about even before, you know, your injury, just the I don't want to say silly because that's not the right word, but the just crazy things that have happened to Lions players when you were just on the cusp of turning a corner. Right, and then something happened. I'll tell you, anytime I hear that Queen song, Another One Bites the Dust, that Billy Stearns and that defense, man, those are the two things straight in my head.
Oh, yeah, we was pretty good. You know, we started off 4-0 that year, and you would have thought we had won the Super Bowl. And I was telling the fans, I said, oh, no, it's a long season. We got more games. But we did turn it around that year. We ended up coming in second, I think, to Minnesota.
Yeah.
They wanted to, And, of course, we made the playoffs when I was there twice. The year when we went on strike, I think. Yeah, we backed into that year. And then 83, you know, we won it outright. So.
Right.
So this next question, you've already kind of told us that you weren't really looking to get into football at all. So maybe there isn't a good answer for this, but from Hammerlock Ziggy, he wants to know, who did you watch growing up and who did you try to emulate? And you know, he's specifically talking about football players. So I don't know, you know, if you watched too much football growing up or if there were any players growing up who were guys that you were a fan of,
not really. Believe it or not, it was strange because I watched more baseball than I did football. Yeah,
right.
And course, I like Kevin Hill back in the day, you know, with the Cowboys, because he would sure. jump over people and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I was mindset on baseball. It was kind of crazy, even though I played it, and then I got pretty good at it and had a chance right. to go off to college. But baseball was still always my first love.
All right. So while we're on that real quick, who were your favorite baseball players then?
Oh, like I said, it was Bob. Of course, I was a big Cardinals fan. I'm still a big Cardinals fan to this day. And it was Bob Gibson, Lando Cepeda, Kirk Flood, Lou Brock. Well, I wore number 20 because of Lou Brock.
That's interesting. I didn't realize that. Interesting.
Yeah.
So
when I relocated to Texas to live with my grandparents, you know, football was king down there. Everybody plays football.
Right. Well, let's talk outside of football a little bit about Billy Sims, the man, and today and where you're at. Outside of the game of football and baseball, what brings you great happiness? This is from Michigan Lion, but what's the thing that really makes your life prideful and happy when you wake up in the morning, besides talking to us?
knowing I'm going to get up and blessed to see another day to see my grandkids. I got 7 grandkids, and I tell you, now I realize when people say, I wish I had my grandkids first.
That's good.
So definitely that, and just family, and still have opportunity, especially with the barbecue business, to be involved in different communities or we set up at and giving back to the community. So I always say, if you bless, you know, it's your obligation to bless somebody, and that's what I try to do.
Let's back on the topic of football and maybe the broader aspects of football. Do you think that running backs in today's NFL are undervalued? And that's from the Cheeseman 34.
A little bit. You know, once the game has changed, you know, more people are throwing the ball around. And of course, when I came out, you know, running backs were, you know, always the top of the list. But it's totally different now because you have more of the passing set. And now you can get running backs in different. You don't have to go really get them in the early rounds like you used to, unless they are Barry Sanders or Adrian Peterson type of guy.
Right.
Yeah.
And they can still help you win and be successful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. We've got one from a guy named SFH Commish, and he saw you in Missouri and sat down and spent some time talking to you and. Shares the same sentiment. He and I were talking prior to the show about how when I saw you at the Thanksgiving game, he saw you before, how just great you are as a person, not that kind of superstar sports athlete kind of talking down to everybody. How just you're such a genuine, wonderful guy. His question is, are you still close to any of your offensive linemen from your playing days? And if across anyone, is there anyone that you still hang out with the most out of everyone?
Well, believe it or not, yes, it's on the college level, you know, because back then we spent 4 years together. Nobody was coming out early. We practiced together. We worked together. We slept together. So, and even to this day, a couple of guys are good friends of mine. It was a tight end, number 80, Victor Hicks, who also had a chance to play for the Los Angeles Rams, and my roommate, the same year I won the Heisman, he won the Outland Trophy, Greg Roberts, who played for Tampa Bay. Both of those guys are from Texas. And to this day, we've been friends since our freshman year.
That's great.
Sure, that's good to know that you keep connections like that.
No one likes me that long, right. Even Case here.
I think I kind of know the answer to this question. But what is a benefit players have today, be it, you know, gloves, modern science, larger platform, better training, certain rules, et cetera, that you wish was around during your playing days in the NFL? And that's from user Lions fandom.
Well, definitely the modern technology when it comes to surgery.
Me too.
And the better playing surfaces, too.
Yes, most definitely. I remember the first time I ever played on turf. It was in high school, and we had to borrow another team's shoes because we had grass shoes. You know, we didn't have any turf shoes.
Wow.
And we was in a playoff game, And we went up to play the game and practice. I sprained my knee in warm-up on turf because I didn't know how to run on it.
Sure.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I wouldn't either. I'm sure I'd do the same.
Because like I said, it's a lot different now. So kind of messed on out on that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's. We've got a two part question here. We've got two questions left. One's a two parter. The two parters from Mashy Smashy, and the question is the first part of it is what was the real deal when you were going to come back in '89? Was there a person, a single person, that shot it down? Because everyone understood that the coach wanted you. Wayne Fonts at the time wanted you on the team. And as a result of the way things worked with the Lions, did you consider playing somewhere else? And he also wanted to just add, hey, thanks a lot for all the memories. It's far too short, but very, very big nonetheless.
Right. Well, what happened at the time in 84. I had, believe it or not, I had signed two contracts.
Really?
You remember the USFL League?
Oh, sure. Michigan Panthers. That was my team back in the day.
but in Houston, it was the Houston Gamblers.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And at that time, my ex-agent owned the team, and I was going to sign with him because you got to remember, they was giving guaranteed money.
Right. I remember that.
And I had signed with them because I was going to play out my 84 year and be with them. That's when Jim Kelly was the quarterback there at that time.
Wow.
Right.
So, of course, you know what happened in that league. They end up folding. And I had to sue the Gamblers, stay with the Lions. But what it did, it forced the Lions to pay me more money anyway. So what I was creating was because there was no free agency, so I kind of sort of created my own free agency at that time.
Right. And William Clay just loves that. I'm sure still to this day, the Ford family is like, Billy, that money.
Yeah, I guarantee you. they had a general manager named Russ yep. Thomas, was yep. the general manager. Yeah, and man, he was tough on players. Even before I got there, I would hear, well, Steve Owens, who was another Lions player who played there before me, and a Heisman winner from Oklahoma, he's always telling me about Russ Thomas. I said, this guy can't be that bad. Well, he was bad. Real bad. Yeah.
All right. So there is one play in particular that perhaps you are best known for. And this is the other part of Mashy Smashy's question here. Here's what he says. Do you ever watch your Kung Fu kick highlight against the Oilers?
I knew he was going to mention that one. Yeah. I knew it.
I bet you don't get a lot out of a lot of interviews without that one coming up.
So. Without a doubt. Somebody brought that up the other day because they used to show it a lot on ESPN.
Yeah.
And Chris Berman, the one, gave me that title, by the way.
Kung Fu Billy Sims. Yep.
Yeah. And, really, a lot of people don't know behind the scenes because of that. During the offseason, I used to work out with some of the Oilers players in Houston because my agent was based out of there. So I would go out there and train with them, you know, during the offseason, knew a lot of the guys. And the defensive back who I kicked in the chest, his sister used to be a movie star on Miami Vice. You remember Miami Vice?
Oh, yeah.
And the black police officer lady, it was a black girl who played a police officer.
Sure.
And, anyway, I was trying to get to know her. He wouldn't know her. It was his sister. and during the game, you know, in the pile, he was kind of hitting me in the side. You couldn't see it. And I didn't know it was him until I held onto his hand one time. His name was Steve Brown. That's what.
Yeah.
And I said, "Okay, sure. Steve, I'm gonna get you for that." Well, the next play, I'm trying to get the first down. He happened to be coming, trying to stop me. And I just react to him, kicked him, put my foot in his face mask or whatever, knocked him out the way, got the first down. And I told him, I said, I told you to introduce me to your sister. But anyway, that was the reason behind that.
Well, okay.
Did you get to meet her? I mean, you can't leave us hanging here, Billy.
Yeah. So, you know, I didn't never get to meet your sister anyway.
No. Oh,
yeah.
Well, here's what I'm curious about. Okay, to take this like to the mind of a football player as things are happening, I'm just curious, like how much of that reaction is a conscious decision, and how much is just like you didn't set out to do that. Maybe you just
I'm trying to get the first down. I had already leaped over one guy. I just caught him coming on the force to try to stop me.
Yeah.
I just stuck foot out there and knocked him out the way, you know, kept going a little bit and got the first down. And the following week, they fined me $500 for that. So
yeah.
It was worth it.
Yeah. Well, you know his sister at least saw it, so you got that going for it.
Oh yeah, she saw it.
Well, it's one of the best two martial arts plays I think I've ever seen in the NFL. The other one is Le'Veon Bell doing almost something very similar a few years back, planting a guy with his foot in the chest. But I can watch that play, you know, over and over again, and laugh my ass off. So
you know what. The thing about that play, it seemed like that's the only good play they tell me about.
Right. Well, I feel bad about that. There were a lot. It's not hard to find.
That's the only one people bring up.
Yeah.
All right. We got
that sort of reminds me of a game against Nebraska. The year I won the Heisman, of course, Nebraska was our big rivals back in those days. We always play during Thanksgiving week. And we up in Lincoln, and they beat us 17-14. We had 9 fumbles that game. But to this day, especially in Oklahoma, nobody remembers the other 8. They just remember mine. So I had the last one.
Yeah. Well, I'll jump something in here real quick. You say, you know, that's the play everybody talks about. Do you have one or two other plays that stick out in your head as some of the biggest moments that you feel like you had?
Well, probably my rookie year, my first game against the Rams.
Yeah, well, that was a big one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they had just come off a Super Bowl loss the year before, I believe. But anyway, going into that game, a lot of people during the off season really didn't know what type of player I was. One neck when I got drafted, they didn't know if I could catch the ball because, you know, we didn't throw the ball in college, not for me anyway. So we go out to California and I had a great debut, about 3 touchdowns, 150 something yards, and of course after that everybody kind of knew I was probably pretty good with the Lions.
Yeah. Yep. Right. I think it was pretty clear.
Yeah.
All right. One more question. This one's from Carlos. He writes it in a little bit of a letter format. He says, "Mr. Sims, thank you for creating some of the very best barbecue I've ever had in my life. I can't get enough of the beef brisket or the ribs. They're absolutely the best. And I usually get the sweet sauce because I don't like things to be very spicy. What's your favorite thing to order when you eat at Billy Sims Barbecue?"
It would be the Heisman sandwich.
Mm, sure.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a 3-layer meat sandwich. Actually, it's big enough for 2 people. But
or one Billy, right?
Right, or one Billy sandwich.
Yeah. I usually get the smoked brisket, the pulled pork, and the hot links on my Heisman sandwich.
That's awesome. All right. Well, Billy, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you making the time. It was really great to have you on and listen and hear your story, man. Any time you want to talk to us, we would love it. We just love hearing from you, and you've got some great stories from Lions history to share.
Well, thank you, and thanks for having me on. And I'm still saying, go Lions.
Damn straight, so are we, man. Thanks a lot, Billy. All right. Remember, this show needs your involvement. use the comments in the subreddit to give us the feedback. We love that feedback. Helps us to stay number one. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon. All you Patreon donors are very, very close to our heart. We appreciate every penny you guys share with us. If you'd like to join the crew, it's at patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. Patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. Or head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on that Patreon link. Become one of those big supporters. That's one of the things that helps us do all the things we do with the show. Helps keep us going in the off season and helps us innovate on a lot of the new stuff that we're working on as well. Also, check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. It's facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And of course, on the Twitter cheese, that's where most of the fun happens, at DETLionsPodcast, DETLionsPodcast. It's the very best place to see Case.
He has to pay me to keep my pants on, so.
That's damn straight, right? All right, give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us in the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. 929-335-4667. You can give us a call and we'll get you on the air. Lastly, be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and subscribe to the podcast. That way, if it's me, it's Riz, Case, or, you know, it's special, it's just me, but we can come in your little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
Hey, Dean Blandino here, and I can tell you unequivocally that call was 100% wrong.
Hey, yaddy ho.
That was a good blooper reel section right there.
Sometimes it just doesn't come out like you think.